The Lord be with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, for earth turning greener and promise of sun, for calf dates and board games and the encouragement of friends, we thank you. For the creation and all that sustains us, our loved ones, laughter, play and prayer, welcome cups of tea and coffee, we thank you. For the gifts of your Spirit which guide us in this life and keep us near your Son, our risen Lord Jesus, in whom we hope and pray, we thank you and say, Amen. Today in chapel, we welcome student representatives from OASIS as our speakers. OASIS stands for Olli's Advancing Social Innovation and Sustainability. So we are grateful to Ann Brooker, Adam Koenig, and Gabe Rizdahl for being with us today.
This reading is from Galatians. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will destroy each other. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying of each other. The word of the Lord.
As we just heard in Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul's intention for this passage was twofold. One was an explanation of how we can serve God, and the second was showing the gifts that the Spirit has bestowed upon us. What Paul asks us to do in this passage is serve one another humbly in love. We're serving God through the serving of others. It's more than just helping the less fortunate. What this is, it's about the opportunity to serve that God grants us. This blessing granted on us to facilitate change through our actions and services. To love our brothers and sisters like God loves us and as we love God. Paul gives us a list here on what he deems the fruits of the Spirit. Now, this is a list of godly character that we should strive to achieve. The key word in that is strive. As we all know, none of us are even close to perfect. But what Paul is asking us to do is to strive to be perfect and strive to serve God through trying for these characters. One of the fruits he mentions is the fruit of love. He wants us to love as God did, and that's agapic love. Agapic love is a love that consumes. It's an unconditional love. It's self-sacrificing, and it's thoughtful. This love that Paul brings up, it's not romantic love, it's not sexual love, and it really isn't even brotherly love. The loving he's talking about is loving like God, loving those who may be undeserving and oftentimes are unappreciative. Another of the fruits brought up by Paul is the fruit of kindness. Now, in this sense, kindness is not to be confused with being nice. Nice is often meant today as being agreeable or passive. The kindness he's talking about is acting for the good of people, the ability to act for the welfare of those, even the ones that tax your patience. This kindness, this fruit of kindness, is expected to be given without an expectation of receiving anything in return. What Paul is asking us to do is live in God's never-ending love, which allows us to live our lives in the fruit of the Spirit and serve God through serving one another.
As Adam said, our lives are meant to serve others. This is not an option or choice, but a call from Christ. Clothe the naked, care for the widow, the orphan, feed the hungry. However, service is only half of the equation. The other part, a part that is so difficult, is living for others with a humble heart. Galatians 5:13 through 26 says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love." I spent a summer in Taylorsville, North Carolina, facilitating mission work for high school students. Each week, we had students come to us from all over the country, and we would lead them in fixing houses, visiting the mentally ill, and doing other types of service work in the community. These high schoolers were hardworking and a joy for anyone we worked with, but realized the good work they were doing. They would tell me how happy they were that they could bless and help the less fortunate community members of Taylorsville. They had lost the humbleness that is so key in doing God's work. Service cannot be one person coming down to help another or blessing a community with one's time. But this work is a collaboration. It needs to be. Both parties add to the process. Many times, because we Americans have material wealth and academic education, we begin to think of ourselves as the answer. We work to end hunger, illiteracy, oppression, but forget that it really isn't us at all, but instead God using us and using those we're helping. What those high schoolers failed to see was that the people of Taylorsville were blessing them as well. They were accepting them into their community and teaching them about a whole new culture. Serving is not a gift from one person to another, and neither party has all the answers, but we are just in different situations globally, economically, culturally. Keeping a humble spirit is not easy. In this world, doing good often means acclamation. Parents, friends, professors, people let you know that you are doing good, which results in a big head. How do we escape this trap of self-admiring? By reminding ourselves that anything we have to offer comes from Christ. Live for others, but do this as Christ says, with a humble heart.
May you go out in peace, knowing that for your serving and your working, you are loved and strengthened by God. Amen.